Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran at Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025. My guest is Dr. Carol Malgorin, a swine veterinarian, technical support with Merck Animal Health. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Malgorin.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
As part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025, you discussed the topic PCV3, how it started versus where it's going. First of all, what is porcine circovirus, and when was the first porcine circovirus actually identified?
Yes, thank you for the question. So it is a porcine circovirus, belongs to the circoviridae family viruses, and it's a virus that, for the ones that we know, most of them can cause systemic diseases, so inflammation, especially in different organs in pigs. But the first one that was found back in the 70s was actually a non-pathogenic circovirus. It was found as a cell culture contamination in the laboratory. But a couple of decades after that, we encountered PCV2, which was actually a very pathogenic virus to pigs, and it became a really big problem to the industry. After a couple decades again, back in 2015, we discovered PCV3, which was also able to cause big losses to the industry due to diseases, mostly reproductive or also systemic diseases. And more recently, in 2019, we have encountered a new porcine circovirus. Now we have PCV4, which is still under study, and we don't have a lot of data about it yet. But we do believe it may be able to cause some degree of disease as well.
How do these various strains of circovirus differ? And what do we know about the pathogenicity of the various strains and what species actually would be affected by those strains?
Yes, so they are similar enough in their genome sequencing to belong into the same family, but of course they have some differences in their sequences that do make them into different types. So for example, PCV1, it is similar to PCV2, but it doesn't have the pathogenic properties as PCV2. PCV3, it's the most different one so far, so it's not super close to PCV2, but it does hold the ability to also cause disease. And PCV3 and PCV4 are kind of closer together than they would be close to PCV2. They are able to cause inflammation, especially close to the blood vessels of the animal. It's not completely understood what determines if they're going to be a reproductive disease, a systemic disease, or, for example, the porcine dermatitis and nephropathy syndrome that we can see in PCV2. So that is still not very clear, but they are able to cause disease, especially when they have co-infections with other pathogens. They have been found in many different species that won't necessarily get sick as pigs do, but they can be carriers. So for PCV3, for example, we have found them in wild boars, in wildlife, like in deers. We have found them in cattle, dogs, and even ticks and mosquitoes. So we do believe these animals, they might not get sick as pigs do, but they can be carriers of PCV3 within the domestic pig population if they are in close contact.
And looking specifically at PCV3, the topic of your talk today, where is PCV3 currently found and in what numbers?
Yes, so it can be found globally. When you're talking about detection, it is in all the Americas, in Europe, in Asia, so wherever we have intensive pig production, PCV3 is there. In prevalences that will be between 6 to 80%, so very variable, but also well distributed globally. In the animal, we can find PCV3 in pretty much any tissue sample. It is a systemic infection, so we can find in blood, we can find in many different organs, And we can also find in oral, fecal, and nasal swab, which shows the possible shedding routes of this virus.
What are the economic implications of this infection?
Yes, we don't have studies showing the numbers yet about for PCV3, but we do understand that if we are having reproductive losses like abortions, mummified fetuses, stillborn fetuses, or if we have animals in the nursery that are just ill-treated, losing weight, not developing to their full potential, we will have economic losses at the end of the chain.
What options do pork producers have in terms of both preventing the infection and treating it?
Yeah, so we, the forms of control, we don't have specific guidelines for PCV3, but we can take advantage of good biosecurity, good handling of the animals, nutrition, and we can use vaccination, not only against PCV3, but against other pathogens that can co-infect with PCV3. For PCV3, we currently have the Sequivir vaccine. It's the only one available for us. It is a RNA platform vaccine, so it uses an RNA sequence backbone as a vector for the a piece of the sequence of PCV3. So we use the Cap1 sequence of PCV3 into this vaccine, and that is given to the animals so they can protect, create an immune response against PCV3.
What do pork producers need to be aware of with regards to PCV3? What are the recommendations and why?
Yes, it's important for us to understand that PCV3 is a real thing. It is able to cause disease by itself, although it's most common in co-infections. And so it's important for us when you start to see symptoms that could be caused by PCV3 to collect samples to investigate if our problem is due to PCV3 or PCV2 or other pathogens, so we can get to the root cause of the problem and can take action against it with our veterinarians.
What more needs to be learned about PCV3 and, for that matter, PCV4, and why?
Yeah, so, for example, we still don't have a serological test commercially available for PCV3, so we can't detect antibodies at the farms, and that would really help us to understand the dynamics of infection and the disease in the farm. We need to have more experimental infection studies so we can understand why some tissues are affected by PCV3, why we have the kind of lesions we have. We can understand better the co-infection, if there is a synergy between other pathogens and PCV3, how they interact. We also need to understand better the subclinical presentation of PCV3, because we can have them looking healthy but being infected and presenting with lesions. And so when they are compared to non-infected animals, they will be lighter. So we need to understand the impact of the subclinical disease as well. And of course, all of that plus even more into the pathogenicity of PCV4.
How can anyone interested get more information?
Yes, they can definitely contact me. I'm available for discussion about these. I think there are some very nice publications. I've checked yesterday, and since 2016 until now, we have around 600 scientific publications on PCV3, but those can get overwhelmed. So I believe most of the attending veterinarians will have good information about PCV3, but otherwise I'm also available.
And how can anyone interested get a hold of you?
Yes, my email, I think, is the easiest one. It would be malgarin, so malgarin@merck.com.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for this space, for the interview. I really appreciate being at SaskaPork. It's an event that I've been attending for the last many years. It's a very important one for our industry here in the region. So I just appreciate being here. Thank you.
And thank you. Our guest has been Dr. Carol Malgorin, a swine veterinarian, technical support with Merck Animal Health. At Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025 for Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.